I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Using Jeffrey Epstein as a deflection from the tremendous success that we're having as a party.
Well, that is the story this week, as we're going to get a vote, I guess, in the House on, you know, forcing the vote to release the Epstein files, the discharge petition that got partially created by Thomas Massie, one of the Republicans in the House, and what, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the third, fourth one, I'm forgetting now who it is. But anyway, we got our congressman on the line. We'll talk with him about it. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know that talking about Jeffrey Epstein is your absolute favorite thing in the whole wide world. but this...
I like the work, and the thing is just creative paralysis.
Yeah.
You know, so...
You know, I will tell you that if all these files come out, I am absolutely not reading them. I will read the summaries. I don't have time to go through all that nonsense. But I think it's an interesting thing where enough Republicans and enough Democrats got together to force this discharge petition to kind of stage a revolution against House leadership and say, we want this, we're going to have a vote on it. And now, gosh, maybe 100 Republicans might vote for that. Have you decided how you're going to vote on this?
Yeah, look, I'm going to vote for transparency. I've always been a transparent guy. You know, my frustration is, and again, I wasn't in the process when the Democrats were in power. But, you know, the Democrats had the ability to do all this before. You know, I'm convinced if they had any dirt on Donald Trump, they would have forced the releasing of these documents just to go out and impair the ability for the president to get elected in November. But, you know, now they want to do it. This just creates distraction. It burns up time. It uses up precious resources. You know, we've got crises all over this country, in my opinion. I still want to get back to affordability in our home market. I want to get back to affordability in our groceries. And it seems like that's something that you know, the president's committed to. But when you have issues like this that consume much bandwidth, and then, of course, the media then loves it, so then it has the public stirred up, you know. So let's get this thing voted, move on, and let's get back to work.
Well, and then even if the House passes it overwhelmingly, is the Senate going to touch it?
You know, I don't know why they would. You know, right now the Senate, unless you're going to try to and break them, I think what you'll probably see, and I was I saw Leader Thune over the weekend. You know, how much does the president truly want this filibuster blown up? So I mean, so does this become a different point of debate? Does the president continue to push the removal of filibuster, which then creates, you know, a different pathway for the Epstein Transparency Act or any of these others to become law? So, you know, we'll see. I just feel like the Senate has got enough problems of their own right now, just trying to get to 60 on anything.
Yeah, and as you mentioned a moment ago, if they had something on Trump that would have come out by now, and in fact, the ones that were released that mentioned him, they redacted the name of the person who was the woman they were talking about, and she specifically said in testimony that he didn't do anything wrong. So it's like, it's all a game, you know, and it's so silly. The shutdown being...
And what have we done? We're burning up your airtime talking about something about a dead pedophile. Yeah, anyway, go
that's
ahead.
It. No, I agree. And by the way, I hope I lump myself out of the media who care an awful lot about that. I just haven't, you know, I mean, I care about women being abused. I care about powerful people using their power to abuse. I care about that. But, you know, all the rest of it and who's on this list, I don't know. And, you know, show me when something really interesting happens. And so far, nothing has. On the shutdown,
sure.
there were two things, and there may be more in this, what, 300 or 400 page bill. There were two things that came in the shutdown bill that were surprises to me. One, and we talked with Michelle Salzman about this on Friday extensively, one was that they have basically, I guess y'all, I mean you voted, have made it so that the THC derived from hemp is going to be illegal unless in teeny tiny quantities. And so the whole marketplace of THC derived from hemp products is going to become illegal, like 95% of this multi-billion dollar industry. Was this intentional? Did you know about this? Did you have enough time to read the bill to know? And what's your thought about that?
Well, here's the problem we've got. There were elements of that bill that I think you know, I'm not crazy about people getting carve outs or backdoor deals. It was obvious, you know, everybody starts to push hemp as a product that's got all these fantastic purposes, rope and clothing and all this stuff. It was all about getting this extraction of this variation THC.
Yeah.
I mean, so it wasn't truly honest and forthcoming with how it got to enter into the marketplace. So one, I call a strike on that. Okay?
Totally,
I
mean, agree. Totally agree.
The industry advocates lied when they started it, because it was all, and those that were in the know created this monster that we've got today. So I think this is where Congress finally came back and said, you know what, right is right and wrong is wrong. And you know what, if you want to be forthright, then let's go through the same process that the medical marijuana companies have to go through. So I think that's just a level of just transparency and just righting the ship of where they had some problems with previous policy.
Yeah, and that's going back to that ag bill from 2018. So, you know, you might look at it as, well, how dare they take this away? And also you look at it as, well, you had 7 years, you know? You had 7 years of money from heaven because, you know, we're now fixing this glitch. And if we're going to actually deregulate this or make it available, let's go through the normal process. The other one that has gotten some attention, maybe not a ton of news, but at least some, is this giveaway to senators who had their phone records disclosed or searched without being told that it was happening. As I understand it, as much as $2 million, $1 million for each half of that infraction to 8 senators. How in the world did that get in there? Only for them, not for House members, and retroactive to past things back to 2022. Good Lord.
Yeah, so Austin Scott has already got a bill filed to unwind this. Speaker has, you know, expressed his frustration, but his commitment to fast track this bill. Now, again, we will fast track a bill to go undo what the Senate has done. But now, is the Senate going to take up the legislation that ultimately takes away the benefit? They might. It depends on how much political pressure they got. There's those in the process, as gross as it might sound, says good for them. You know, they should be paid if they got it through. And I'm thinking, guys, this is taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I don't like giving some type of massive windfall. If they got a problem with it, you know, then go sue the federal government. You can sue the federal government if you want to. But going and creating a special carve-out compensation fund for this is not appropriate. But the problem we have is all right, do we hold up getting the government open and trying to rip this thing out? You know, it'd have been great. But we wouldn't have been able to get out. More importantly, I wanted to get the government back open. I wanted people to get their paychecks. And, you know, the best thing I've got is, which is a pretty big deal. I've never seen the speaker do it since I've been in the process, making a commitment to fast-track legislation to unwind this exact same instance. So then the speaker will have this as a bargaining chip, because there'll be other things the senator wants that this will come through as part of a negotiation.
Yeah, you added it in when we didn't know. We can add it back in to undo it with things that you want. I mean, that makes sense to me. I just, you know,
unfortunately, that's how you got to do it.
It's so just icky, you know, people voting themselves $1 million or $2 million payoff. Just like I don't like Trump settling the lawsuit for himself, you know. It's just none of that stuff seems right. That stuff is all really, really wrong to me. The shutdown is over. I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but I just want to follow up with it. It seems to me like if we had just not done a shutdown, we'd pretty much be in the same place we're in now, except we wouldn't have had 43 days of suffering and pain and loss, and other than maybe learning that a few government agencies are maybe less necessary than we thought before. What was the point?
The point was all about, I'm sad to say this. Remember, elections have seasons, okay, so take my race, for example. It was a special election. People, it's a very low turnout because people aren't used to voting in the springtime.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, typically if elections don't take place in November every couple of years, you know, people anticipate it. They get in the mind for it. They look forward to it. Some of them cringe about it. But the Democrat leveraged that in order to raise money and awareness in those races, up in those northeastern races. Trump lost all those particular areas in the first place. They were deep blue areas. But it gave them a way to raise money because they could get the base fired up because they were chumming up the water and the national media was talking about it. It was very selfish, but this was a business decision that the Democrats made in order to raise an enormous amount of money, and they'll carry that forward to pay off who they want to pay off and or have money for the midterm elections.
What, in your mind, are we really doing building up military resources vis-a-vis Venezuela? I mean, we now have the forward is in the Caribbean. We're doing training on Trinidad and Tobago or whatever, and, you know, we're everything from interdiction to declaring, you know, elements of cartels that are apparently run by or, you know, somehow at, you know, run by Maduro. We're talking about land strikes. I mean, what do you really see happening here?
Well, I think one, the president, when he was asked a very similar question, he says, well, all that equipment's got to be somewhere. So, I mean, if it's going to be in the Middle East, it's going to be, you know, wherever it just happens now, it's going to be in the Caribbean. It's definitely creating some awareness. It's I have no idea what type of deterrence it's created just by its simple presence. But I think, you know, the president's really just trying to set back that industry several generations. And if means you're starving them financially because they can't get their product to market, you know, then that's one solution. If they're crazy enough to go and take their product to market. I mean, the other day, I mean, people were saying, well, in their due process on these boats. And I said, well, nobody seemed to care once the submarine was sunk. Well, that was different. Well, I mean, they're all trying to do the same thing. They're in the process of bringing illegal substances that kill people to the biggest market of the globe, and that's the United States.
Do you think we actually get engaged in, you know, using military attacks against Venezuela proper, as in either aerial or land? Or, I mean, because it's certainly what we're building up towards is compatible with that. Maybe not on the massive scale, but the strikes slice of that. Do you think that's where we're going?
I don't think so. You know, the president already made the comments that it sounds like there's been some outreach from the Maduro administration about wanting to meet with the president. So I think the president is getting what he is wanting. He's getting their attention through these strikes. And then ultimately we'll see what type of changes we have in the way the Maduro regime does business, you know.
Well, I suppose, you know, kind of the old adage, it's, I guess, you know, you might as well speak Trumply and carry a big carrier stick. You know, if you're going to.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Little bit of show of force in order to get people to pay attention and do what they should have done in the first place. That's diplomacy, right?
All the resources we've got. Yeah, well, and all these resources that we've got, look, these men and women have to get repetitions in what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just seeing a change of scenery, being mission ready, all that to me is critical for their response whenever, you know, something does happen. But, you know, it's time to show this part of the world we're tired of taking your drug peddling and killing American children.
Yeah, it's a good point about having, practice for different scenarios and, you know, exercises, which they're now doing, you know, in that region. That makes sense to me. Last thing, kind of a good news note is, despite not having the homecoming air show this past weekend, we did manage to get the base open fast on Friday to the public, and we had the Blue Angels fly a practice. It wasn't a full-blown air show. It wasn't a full-blown, you know, all the things that go with having the homecoming air show. But it was a bit of a something for the Blues to end their season, which is good, right?
Yeah, you know, it breaks my heart because at least – all right, so you had the practice show, but you had a number of folks that this was going to be the last time they were ever going to play for the hometown crowd.
Yeah.
You know, so that I was kind of hoping to see that happen. But, you know, I just hope people, you know, just don't forget, you know, these government shutdowns have consequences. There's a lot of things that frustrate about it. And you got to be proactive. And if you were disappointed in the government shutdown, I'm just going to let you know, there was nothing that we did on the Republican side of the aisle to create this shutdown. Everything we did was to vote to have open functioning government. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, this was driven by folks that do not live in this market in order to better and pad their own pockets. It's sad, but that's part of the reality we live in. That's why I gave out Chuck Schumer's phone number in every interview that I did. You know, if you're disappointed, this is the guy you need to call and complain to because he orchestrated this whole thing.
Well, and hey, the good news is if you like the first round, we can do it again in January, right? So
It's on the verge. And that's exactly what Leader Thune told me. He says there's nothing guaranteeing that this doesn't happen all over again, you know, month after next.
Except, I mean, a couple of long-term spending bills, but other than that, it could all happen again. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
See you guys. Thank you.